turning to Luke chapter 24. Let's all help me out. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in this day and be glad in it. Because He has given us this day. We're not guaranteed this day. Or the next hour or the next day. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In it. In this day, let me rejoice and let me be glad in today. Oh, my circumstances. Oh, my Lord. Still trying to throw things up there to mess up your day. We self-sabotage our own days. How you doing today? Well, I got a little gout. I got a little this and that. Man, those things happen. But man, I hope it does not define your day. Luke chapter 24, the disciples struggled after Jesus was crucified. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 34... says, then He took the 12 aside and said to them, hey, listen up, church. He took the 12 aside. Hey, guys, we're having a private meeting, He said. It's just for you guys. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Great news so far. For He will be delivered to the Gentiles. Uh-oh, starting to sound scary. And He will be mocked. And He will be insulted and spit upon. They will scourge Him. They will beat Him and they will kill Him. And the third day He will rise again. But listen to verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Hey, guys, they're going to deliver me. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to beat me. They're going to kill me. They're going to hang me on a cross. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Huh? They didn't get it. But it also says these things were hidden from them. So it wasn't just that they didn't get it and they weren't smart enough to grasp it. But it also goes a step further and says the meaning. These things were hidden from them, what He was saying. So now flip over to Luke chapter 24. Jesus predicted His death, said, hey, for the third time, by the way, says, oh, and by the way, I'm going to rise again. And they didn't get it. He told them what was going to happen. They didn't grasp it. Now, Jesus was crucified by the time we get into Luke chapter 24. He was dead and He was buried. But He told them, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Luke 24, verse 13. The guys are walking. They just heard that the tomb was empty. Some believed, some didn't. Some were confused. They didn't know what to do. Actually, in verse 8 it says, and they remembered His words. So they remembered those words at this point. Skip over to verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They talked together of all things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself, you catch that? Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But what? But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know Him. I got to be honest. If I took my glasses off, I can't tell who's out in the hallway. Man, this is what they mean when they say they saw figures that looked like trees. If I didn't know who was sitting where, it'd be very hard for me to tell who's where. And it says their eyes were restrained. They didn't know what was going on. Verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, of course, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Told them how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But verse 21 says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. You see, they still had a different idea of what was going to happen and how it was going to happen. If we skip down to verse 25, said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I'm sure by now they're walking around scratching their heads going, what is this guy? He doesn't know what's going on, and then he's telling us these things. But verse 28 says, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, that is to stay with us for a while. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. He blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Then after they broke bread together, he was revealed to them. Just like a movie, what happened after that? And he vanished from their sight. Lord, where'd he go? But verse 32 is really what I want to talk about. And getting down to that. It says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things which had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You know, when I ask, do we still experience the living God today? I think every day we're on the road to Emmaus. And I think every day is a breaking of bread between us seeing him and not. Did I slow down enough today to break bread? Did I slow down enough today that I could see him in others? That I could see him at work in my life. Oh, and by the way, for the group over here that I've discounted, that I can see him at work in their lives. Because you see, I have just wiped them out and said, they're not worthy. Did I slow down enough to break bread? And have my eyes opened and see him at work in my life. in the life of others, and especially to those that we tend to want to discount and dismiss. But in doing that, do I also do it with a burning passion within my heart? To say, oh, not only did I see him, but I have this desire every day to meet with him and see him and spend time with him. And they told about the things that they had seen in verse 35 and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Next week, when we take communion, next week is World Communion. And I challenge us as we break bread to not just go, oh, these cruddy little wafers again. But to say, let me see, God, what's going to happen this time when I take the bread. And this time when I do it in remembrance of him. I read somewhere, it was talking about the disciples and the things that they were going through. And it said, intimately intertwined with the disciples' skepticism was their hope and their need for God to be alive and present in their life. But their baggage of doubt impedes the fervor of their faith. And they fail to recognize Jesus. Man, I'm glad I'm a light traveler. But that doesn't mean that I don't have baggage. When we traveled last week to Las Vegas, we had baggage. One little lightweight carry-on. Cindy said, can I put my toiletries in your toiletry bag? I said, well, if I take all my hair products out, there will be room, but... But the baggage we carry, does it impede us in the fervor of our faith so that we fail to recognize Jesus? Lord, I'm so concerned about the values of the world. Lord, I'm self-centered. I want this to be all about me. God, I'm impatient. I want these things. I'm discontent over life's circumstances. Anyone discontent over life's circumstances ever? 3.5. Okay. Got a 1, 2, and a... I'm just kidding. But that's what happens. Selfishness, bitterness. Oh, anyone ever get bitter? I was looking up... Oh, Tim, okay, thank you. You got it. Absolutely. Next week, we're going to talk about some of these things. And I got home and I told Sid, I said, I had to bring this post-it note home because I was making notes. And I looked up causes of divorce. I said, I didn't want someone at work to think I was thinking about getting divorced. And I said, and I didn't want you to think I was thinking about that. But we're going to talk about divorcing God. What are the reasons we do that? Gosh, maybe I'll get to it today. I don't know. Finances. One of the parties didn't like the way finances were being handled. What's the big one they always say? Oh, I got it right here. Lucky me. All right. Hey, we can talk about it. I'm going to bail out of this relationship. I got in it thinking something was going to happen and it didn't. I gave it a few weeks. I gave it a few months. I gave it a few years. Lack of commitment. I was there every once in a while. Think about, again, this relationship with you and God. infidelity. Uh-oh, I made something or someone else my master. Conflict. You ever see that drama thing of the stool and God says, oh, this is my stool. I said, and the person kept sitting on the stool. Whoever's in that stool makes the decisions. And God kept trying to get on and the person was nudging him out. Conflict. God always wanted me to do something else. He wanted me to go to Nineveh and I didn't feel like it. Arguing who's in control. That's the final straw. I became a Christian years ago and nothing's ever gone right since. Oh, you got to keep a different scorecard and look at things differently. Lack of support from family. Oh, this one, yeah, definitely. Irreconcilable differences. God wanted to be the master of my life, and I said, okay, so long as I can call the shots. What? We take what God wants us to be passionate about down in our heart and that burning desire. When we first became a Christian, maybe we got baptized. Maybe we need to take the step and be baptized. I don't know. Or be rebaptized to get that passion burning down inside of us again. But their baggage impeded them in the fervor of their faith from recognizing Jesus. And I thought, are we really any different? These guys spent 3 years in His physical presence. Amen. In His physical presence. And then they're going, He said He'd rise 3 days later. Is He going to do it? Did He? Has it happened? Then you had the one. Hang on. Touch the hole in your hand. Hang on. Ugh, there we go. Yeah, I guess it is You, Jesus. And I think, why should we be surprised when we are different? But I do think this. We should respond the way they did. Oh, let me pull myself back in line. Lord, let me get behind You. You are the leader of my life. You are the ruler of my life. You are the King of kings. You are the Prince of peace. God, You are in control. And I will follow behind You. God, I know I get emotional about these things and I'm passionate about this. But if it doesn't line up with Your word or Your desire or Your will for me in my life, I better get it figured out. And I better fall back in line and be that soldier for You. And tell people, yeah, it isn't always about me. Yearning for the presence of the living God in our daily life, but too preoccupied, too busy to actually recognize God when He does enter our life. Eric, I'll never forget as I say things like that, when we used to go to Denny's after Ground Zero for years. We talked about ways to connect with our teens. And Spencer and Megan showed up. They said, hey, can we sit with you? And I thought, could you imagine if we said, no, we're trying to figure out ways to connect with teens. Absolutely, have a seat. And I just think, but some people would miss that. Why? I'm too busy. We've got to get a plan of how to connect with our teenagers. Would you please, teenagers, go away and leave us alone? So we can get this figured out. Too preoccupied and busy to actually recognize God. The fire inside our burning heart, there's two main sources. Two main sources for the things that burn with desire. One is simply the Word of God. We've got to get in this thing and read it. I used to write down in a notebook things that I didn't understand. Some I would study till I understood it. Other time, Eric, I don't get this. Eric would explain it. And just like the poor little disciples, they didn't get it. my eyes weren't open to what he was saying. I just thought, Eric, I don't understand. But take those things to someone that is wise enough to give you the right answers and not just opinion or guessing. But the Word of God. Invite Jesus to come off the pages of the Bible and invite him to walk with you in your life. Jesus, there's this fork in the road, man. I know I can, and this looks like where I should go. It looks great. But I hear you tell me, no, take that road. Maybe he doesn't want us all to have fame and fortune. Maybe he wants us to live a humble life. Less riches, because he knows inside of our heart we may get those riches and just get all crazy. Number two, the second thing that creates the fire inside of our heart is God's Spirit working in our lives. You know, when Jesus left this earth, he promised his helper, and I will send the helper, the Holy Spirit. And it says the Holy Spirit will help bring things to remembrance. Haley, I prayed for you a couple years in school when I knew you were taking big tests. And I said, God, give her peace and bring to her mind and bring to her remembrance the things that she needs to know. By the way, that happened to about every one of you students over the years as well. And I still pray that. But I know for you, those were some stressful times. And I specifically remember praying those things over you. That God's Spirit would be with you. And he would help you through those times. So a few things we need to be vigilant and watch out for that I've already mentioned is the values of the world. You know, when I finished the memorial service last Saturday, I challenged the people that were there, which was family members, friends, and co-workers. I said, I want to challenge you guys to do me a favor, to honor Spike, that you would add value to someone's life. And I said, he complimented people, he helped people, he mentored people, he gave rides to people all the time. And I thought, really, that's our goal anyway, no matter who it is. Add value to others. As I was studying for this, I read a little thing about Mahatma Gandhi. And it said he lived with a Christian family. Well, he had studied. And he said the Christian faith is probably the most complete faith in the world. But then he went and changed his mind years later, because he went and lived with a Christian family. He said they don't walk with Jesus. They don't follow his ways. I thought, dang it. When will we get back in line behind him? When will we say, God, I want to do what your word says? And it's not enough to say, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So I'm not going to worry about it because we're all sinners. I'm sorry, was that just lack of effort that made you not try to be better and improve and correct and change a lifestyle? We've got to start modeling the life of Christ, having that sweet aroma of Christ. And others say, there's something about you. I don't know what it is. That's right. Breathe it in. Take it in. But I want what you have. As opposed to saying, you're a Christian? Man, Pastor Jack used to always say that. He said, man, let your face know. Because you look upset sometimes. And I thought, oh, Jack, I don't like that. But I get it. Add value to others. glorify God by what? Loving others, serving others, and then doing what your God-given gift and talent is for others. These things glorify God. Now today, as we close, many of you are on the road to Emmaus. Some of you have broken bread with Christ, and you've seen Him, and you have recognized Him. You have experienced Him. But for some of you, you're still struggling to see Him. And you're still struggling to recognize Him. And it isn't that I've never met Jesus, so I don't know who He is, like the woman at the well who was talking about this guy, and he said, "That Jesus who you're talking about, that's me." Or the other people where Jesus says, "That person that you seek, that Jesus, I am He." We're people that know Jesus. But we've got to start recognizing Him when He's in our life. And God's wondrous works in our life. We've got to start breaking bread with Him more often. Let's bow our heads.